Jeremiah 51. Thus says Yahweh, Behold, I will raise up a destroying wind against Babylon and against those who dwell in Lebkamai. I will send to Babylon strangers who shall winnow her, and they shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her around, against him who bends, let the archer bend his bow. Don't spare her young men, utterly destroy all her army. They shall fall down slain in the land of the Chaldeans and thrust through in her streets. So Jeremiah was pretty brave to be prophesying like this against Babylon. In chapter 50, he's told to publish this about Babylon. And he's told that this is the prophecy against Babylon by Jeremiah the prophet. So he's to sort of sign off on it and put his name on it. And yet he had been telling Judah, when they were surrounded by the Babylonians, repent and humble yourself beneath the Babylonians, submit to them and surrender, accept that this is God's will because you've sinned. So when Babylon did take Jerusalem because they didn't repent, the Babylonians rather liked Jeremiah because he had prophesied that they were going to win, as it were. And even Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, knew about Jeremiah, and he said, give Jeremiah whatever he wants. And he tells Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, to ensure that Jeremiah has what he wants. He's told he can go and have a nice, comfortable retirement in Babylon. But he says, no, I'll live here amongst my people. And the people who were left in the land were told were the poor of the land. So he chose a pretty poor life. And then the people want to go down to Egypt, and he says, don't go. God says don't go, but they still went, and he went with them, and he died there. But when he was in Egypt, he was telling them, look, Babylon's going to come down here as well and destroy Pharaoh, in whom you're trusting. But he knew all the time that Babylon itself was going to fall, and so his hope was the hope of Israel, was the hope of the restoration of God's people in their own land. That was his hope. And yet he died without seeing it, in obscurity in Egypt. And yet he would have remembered as he died these prophecies he'd given against Babylon, that all that seemed so strong in the world at that time was going to come down. And it's the same with us. Who wants to retire to a cushy life in Babylon? It's going to fall. It's all going to come down. Even if it doesn't come down in our lifetime, it will, because Jesus is coming to change this world. And all that seems so strong and absolutely permanent will be no more before him. So having given these prophecies against Babylon, it's not surprising that he turns down the offer to go and retire to a comfy life in Babylon, because people would know that, hey, he hates our gods. He says our gods are going to be destroyed and we're going to be destroyed. For neither Israel nor Judah is forsaken of his God, though their land is full of guilt against the Holy One of Israel. So although Israel and Judah were guilty, yet God would not forsake them. And likewise, God has still not cast away his people. He is waiting for them to repent, and then he will restore his kingdom. Flee out of the midst of Babylon. Save every man his life. Don't be cut off in her iniquity. So the idea was that the Jews ought to have left Babylon, along with any of the Babylonians who heard this message and repented. But they didn't. And as the book of Esther shows, eventually they got caught up in the soft life. They assimilated. They were popular. They were wealthy. Just as people today don't want to leave Babylon, because in the New Testament, this message is repeated to us. Leave Babylon. Flee. Get out, lest you be consumed in her destruction. But people prefer the soft life, and they're assimilated into this world. And so just as the Jews, just on the level of culture and external appearance, remained believers in Yahweh, but were really Babylonians in spirit, so it can be with us. Babylon has been a golden cup in Yahweh's hand, and made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. And this is quoted in the New Testament in Revelation about a latter-day Babylon. And we've got to come out of that system. Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Well, it hadn't. fallen at the time Jeremiah was talking. But God speaks about things which are not, Paul says, as if they are. It's so certain that it's going to happen that we must live as if it has happened. But this world has fallen, and the kingdom of God and the reality of God is here on the earth. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. We read in chapter 50 that God had given Babylon an appointed time. I think she had a period of time in which she could have repented. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. So he even gave Gentile idol-worshipping Babylon a period of time to repent, perhaps 70 years. And when that didn't happen, then God judged her. Now, we likewise have been given a window of opportunity to repent, to be baptized, to live repentant lives. And we really must take it. This is what gives a sense of urgency to our lives. Make sharp the arrows, hold firm the shields. Yahweh has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. So God can stir up the spirit or the mind or the heart of Gentile people to do his will, and he's willing to do that to us even more so through the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be spiritually minded, God will give you his spirit, his mind, so that you can be. Set up a standard against the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong, prepare the ambushes. Yahweh has both purposed and done what he spoke about Babylon. You who dwell on many waters, abundant in treasures, your end has come, the measure of your covetousness. So God is very sensitive to people who trust in treasure and who are covetous of wealth. That's one reason that's given here for Babylon's fall. And we live in a world that thinks that's cool, that encourages through advertising and talk between people and how people act in life, a world that encourages covetousness and coveting of wealth. But this is why Babylon was to be destroyed. And then we have a sort of a hymn of praise to God. He has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. By his understanding has he stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain, brings forth the wind out of his treasuries. So the world in which we live is not just wound up on clockwork and is sort of tick-tocking along. God is consciously bringing the rain. As Jesus says, he sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. And if you want to see God at work, just open your eyes and look at the world around you. Every man has become a brute without knowledge. Every goldsmith is disappointed by his image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, a work of delusion. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. So then, idols are vanity and a delusion. But anything that replaces the total focused worship of God, the true God, is an idol. And we can set up these idols in our hearts. People are full of obsession about this or that, trying to achieve this or that or the other, and it is worshipping an idol, and it is a delusion. The portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the creator of all things. Idols don't create anything, but God creates. Jacob is the tribe of his inheritance. You are my battle axe and weapons of war. With you will I break in pieces the nations, and with you will I break in pieces the chariot and him who rides therein. And with you will I break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you will I break in pieces the farmer and his yoke. I will render to Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion, says Yahweh. So whatever is done to God's people means that you're going to be judged for it. So be very careful that you don't hate God's people, that you're not nasty to God's people in any form. Whereas if we bless the least of his people with a cup of cold water, with clothing, if we visit them in prison, God is extremely sensitive and notices that as well. Behold, I am against you, destroying mountains, says Yahweh. I will stretch out my hand on you and roll you down from the rocks and will make you a burnt mountain. They shall not take of you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations, but you will be desolate forever. Set up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. Cause the horses to come up, prepare against her the kings of the Medes. The land trembles and is in pain, for the plans of Yahweh against Babylon stand, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. So the plans of God to destroy Babylon stood, in other words, they continued, because Babylon hadn't repented when given the chance. The mighty men of Babylon have declined to fight. They remain in their strongholds. Their might has failed. They are become as women. Her dwelling places are set on fire. Her bars are broken. So all human might and all human strength is going to fail. All human defense, all that seems so permanent now, will no longer be like that. And you see this particularly in the fall of Babylon that seemed absolutely invincible. One messenger will run to meet another to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken on every quarter, the passages are seized, the reeds they have burned with fire, the men of war are frightened. The daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor at the time when it is trodden. The time of harvest will come for her. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has devoured me. He has crushed me. He has made me an empty vessel. Like a monster, he swallowed me up. He's like a beast, the sort of beast you read about in the book of Revelation that will be destroyed in the last day. The violence done to me and to my flesh beyond Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say. And my blood on the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your cause and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her fountain dry. Babylon will become heaps, a dwelling place for jackals, just as it is today. They shall roar together like young lions and growl as lions' cubs. When they are heated, I will make their feast, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up, says Yahweh. So I think that death, then, is the punishment for sin. As we know, the wages of sin is death, and it will be a perpetual sleep from which they will not awake. So there's no conscious, everlasting torture or torment of the wicked. And yet, eternal death is an awful punishment when you think that you could live forever. That's what makes eternal death such an awful punishment, when you realize that you could have lived forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, but you're not going to. You're just going to die and sleep and never wake up. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter. How is Shishak taken and the praise of the whole earth seized? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? The sea has come up on Babylon. She's covered with the multitude of its waves. I will execute judgment on Bel in Babylon. That's the god of Babylon. And I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. The idea is that Babylon was like a beast that had swallowed up Judah, and God was going to bring them out and back to their land. My people, go away from the midst of her. Save yourselves, every man, from the fierce anger of Yahweh. Again, this is an appeal to the Jews and anyone who wanted to respond to God's word to leave Babylon and go to Judah, to go to Jerusalem. Not to think that this place is going to last forever. And it's the same call to us today, to come out from Babylon and be separate. Don't let your heart faint for the news that shall be heard in the land, for news shall come one year, and after that in another year shall come news and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Jesus quotes this about what's going to happen just before he returns in the last days. The days come that I will execute judgment on the engraved images of Babylon. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for joy over Babylon. For the destroyers shall come to her from the north. as Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the land. You who have escaped the sword, don't stand still. Remember Yahweh from afar, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. So this is how we are living in a world that is going to fall, in a society that's going to be permanently destroyed. Let Jerusalem come into your mind. Think of the restoration of God's kingdom there forever and ever. That's what we should think about. That's where we should be going. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Confusion has covered our faces, for strangers have come into the sanctuaries of Yahweh's house. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will execute judgment on her graven images. Though Babylon should mount up to the sky, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall destroyers come to her, says the Lord. The sound of a cry from Babylon. Yahweh lays Babylon waste and destroys out of her the great voice. The noise of the many waves is uttered. The destroyer has come on her, even on Babylon. Her mighty men are taken, their bows are broken. I will make drunk her princes and her wise men. They shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up. The broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly overthrown, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. So it's the old theme of all that seems mighty, that seems strong, that seems permanent, that seems wise, that seems clever, the latest technology, the great walls of Babylon. All this was to come down, and it did. And this is what our world seems like. So much knowledge, so much science, so much technology, so much speed, so much permanent, it seems, strength. It will all come down, and we must leave it in spirit. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah when he went with Zedekiah, king of Judah, to Babylon. Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come on Babylon. Jeremiah said to Seraiah, when you come to Babylon, then see that you read all these words. Well, that would have been pretty tough because they'd been taken captive by Babylon, and they had to be nice, of course, to the Babylonians. They were fearful the Babylonians might kill them. And yet Seraiah has got to read out this message that this place is going to fall. And I think the idea was that the Jews who went into exile should remember that this is not our resting place. Although we have to be here for a while, don't think this place is so wonderful. It's going to fall. And that is the message to us. So Seraiah was to read these words and say, Yahweh, you have spoken concerning this place to cut it off, that none shall dwell there, not man nor animal. It shall be, when you've made an end of reading this book, that you shall bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. And you shall say, thus shall Babylon sink and shall not rise again because of the evil that I would bring on her. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah.